Okay, and here we go, hour number two. Very, very nice gentleman is Jim Oglesby. He was asked a couple of hours ago if he might like to come on tonight. I had a last-minute opening this evening. Jim was just with us a few days ago, and he said, great, I'll do it. So he has just sent his latest group of marvelous illustrations of his UFO, then ET encounter. We're working our way through this fascinating story. James is putting them on a page right now, and in a few minutes we'll direct you to the guests section. On the left-hand side of rents, look for guests, and in the middle, where it says pending now, you'll see the name Jim Oglesby, and right below that you'll see illustrations. You're able to click on that and load the illustrations up, and we will go back to the story. Jim, thank you very much for being here. What I really wanted to do is to keep this narrative on the hot track. You're due to come on June 30th, but I didn't want to wait that long. So we had an opening, and I said, can you do it? And you did. Thank you.
Yeah, here we are. You guys have me hopping, I believe.
That's okay. That's okay. It's a story to hop over. And for any of you who have missed it, the first 2 hours, parts one and part two, this is part three tonight, with Jim Oglesby, and we will not be taking a break at the bottom of the hour. We'll go right on through the full hour. Look on the right side of the homepage under Featured Stories, and you'll find Clark McClelland, first Bill Tompkins, then Clark McClelland, and then Herbert Dorsey. Then you'll find Jim Oglesby, and you'll be able to listen to this hour and the other two as well, and look at the illustration. So it's turning out to be quite a visual story. What's the reaction you're getting from your friends, Jim?
They're tuning in tonight. Three or four of them are going to tune in tonight to check out the program. They had no idea that back in the day that I was involved in all of this ET activity.
Yeah, oh, you've kept it pretty quiet then. Interesting. Yeah.
Pretty much so, except for relatives and close friends. Uh-huh. Yeah.
I'll rerun this tune in anytime by going to your featured story box, and then Sunday we'll rerun it as well. It'll also repeat tonight after this first live edition of the program, when we repeat the program. So it'll get plenty of exposure. Not to worry about that. The effort of going back in time and doing such a good job describing this, is it jogging your memory? Are you coming up with things that you had momentarily set aside in your memory banks? They're still there, but are you remembering things with a clarity or a difference that that hasn't been there before?
You are indeed a very intuitive soul. Yeah, I have had a just by looking at these images, off and on over the course of the years, a lot of information has come into me, and I've made use of it. I've jotted it down to act, and I had a lot of it in the book too. Yes.
Great.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely, you're right on.
Very good. All right, we have you up in the guests section now, so just go on over there. And part three, Travelers from Space with Jim Oglesby, and you can load the images. These are marvelous illustrations that Jim has spent hundreds of hours on these to make sure that he got this story down in such a way that it reflects as closely as possible the reality of what he experienced in 1967 and early 1968, just after New Year's. So what we'll do is ask you to go ahead and load the illustrations. I'll give you a minute or two, then we'll, and don't look ahead, start out from the beginning and just follow us along and make it more fun that way. I never did like to pick up my Christmas presents before Christmas morning. I didn't want to guess what was in there. I left them alone. So anyway, we'll just go through this as we do. When you think about this, anything in particular in our first two parts that has come back to you that wasn't as clear, or maybe you'd forgotten, that say, hi, that's right, I do remember that?
Yeah, right offhand, I can't mentally finger something like that, It's
But what you're saying, I think, above and beyond that, is that The clarity of it all is coming back, the emotional aspect of, because this, look, you yes. stood on that porch, your yes. brother-in-law's porch, for weeks.
Yes.
At night, yes. waiting and knowing. And you were told, and for those of you who knew, clearly, whoever was in those craft or that craft was talking to Jim telepathically, telling him yes. when to go and where to go to interact. So it was yeah. a very gentle but very deliberate kind of a meeting. And let's go ahead and take a look at the first picture in illustrations on the left-hand side. And for those of you who didn't find it last time, it's under guests. Just look under Jim's name. Now, here's Jim standing outside of a building that's got a light on inside. It's a mobile.
Uh-huh.
Now, is that
uh-huh.
your brother-in-law's mobile?
Yeah, that was what they lived in back then, yes.
Uh-huh. People still do, but yeah, okay.
Yeah.
They call them manufactured houses now.
Manufactured, there you go.
All right, so you're out here at night and you're looking across those trees again. What's going on?
Well, I came out and obviously, once again, a hunch to come out this was a night for observation. This was, I realized that this particular event did not concern me. This was something completely different. At the time, I didn't quite understand what. If you look at the craft, it came, as I was standing there, it came up at that angle and it paused right about where I've got it stopped there. And, you know, at the time, I had no idea what it was doing out there, or why it was out there on March the 6th. But however, if I go ahead and project a little forward.
Yeah, may I ask one question, if I might?
Yeah.
What took you over to your brother-in-law's mobile home that night? Were you out there sitting on the porch again, and then you had a hunch to walk around it?
Oh, no, once that initial New Year's Eve weekend extravaganza uh-huh. with the missile, once that happened, I stayed.
Oh.
I moved in, yes.
Well, that's a hell of a good excuse. I mean,
yeah, it was, and they were very cordial. They were, you know, my brother-in-law and his wife, they treated me very nice. They allowed me the space and freedom to do this thing, you know?
Uh-huh.
Yes.
That's very special.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask another question I did ask last time. At this point, we're watching you outside looking up at this red, we'll call it a red disc shape. Do you think now, in looking back, that up to this point, you may be a candidate for a contact unknowingly or an abduction unknowingly? Could that have happened? Because you're out on that road, Christmas Tree Road, a lot at night alone and looking
yeah.
at things. And what do you think?
You know, I think you bring up a good point. I never saw it that way because I'd always... you know, I had read up on the Greys and how they abduct and you had missing time and all.
Yeah.
And, I know I didn't encounter, these guys weren't Greys and, I don't recall any missing time. However, there were some nights when I went out and I'll show you another one coming up where I stood in one spot and looked in one area out in the sky for 3 or 4 hours. Now that is possible that something like that could have happened. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a long time to stand in one spot doing something like
yeah.
that. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Go ahead with your story. Very good.
Yeah, so anyway, unbeknownst to me at the time, there was a scheduled Apollo 6 launch on April 4 was coming up. Now, this incident here, this one here happened on March the 6th, so that
okay.
was, if you did the math, that was...
Well, it's about a month away. Yeah.
A month away. So keep that in mind because this event right here was directly related to the Apollo 6, Apollo 7 launches.
Very interesting. Now, Apollo
yes.
6 and 7, for those folks who don't know, did not go to the moon. They were rehearsal flights.
Yeah, and Apollo 6 was, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, I think that was, I got my notes here somewhere, that was the last unmanned test flight before
uh-huh.
Apollo 7, which would have been a manned flight, and
right.
Apollo 7 had to be right. Apollo 6 had to be, all the flaws had to be corrected.
Gotcha. Okay.
As Apollo 7 got, what I was told, that Apollo 7 flew like a bird. It was practically flawless on its flight, so.
Nice.
Which was an interesting point, and whether or not ETs was involved in that, I would say they may very well have been. We'll get to that later on.
Well, we do know that the German geniuses that were brought over here with Operation Paperclip were involved, and American scientists were involved, so there were a lot of people pulling. And, you know, when I think back about what you've said about telepathy and getting clues, what's to keep a scientist trying to resolve an issue with a spacecraft or whatever from getting a little help that he or she might not even be consciously aware of, you know?
Exactly. He may go, wow, where did that come from? But, you know, he wouldn't have second-guessed it, you know?
That's right.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. All right, very good. So we're out looking at this red disc again on March the 6th.
Yeah, and it paused right where I've got it on the screen there, mm-hmm. and then it moved forward at that angle. If you noticed, never was there a night when these craft went flat horizontal. They were always working at an angle, and he followed that trajectory, that angle. If you can imagine, went right up on that angle until he was gone. You know,
to the right.
Yes, going, at that point, the position would have been, he would have been heading probably, I'm thinking more to the southeast.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So he just kept going. Was it a rapid acceleration?
He just started slow and then kept going it was accelerated to a fast speed, and then I lost sight of it. Yes.
Okay. Very good.
It didn't disappear or anything like that. Strictly, you have a physical craft here, you know, with a propulsion, just moved it right on up until it went out of sight. Yes.
Okay. Very good.
Yeah.
All right. Next picture.
Let's see what's next.
It's either daybreak or sunset. I don't know which.
Okay. The next one should be. Let me think. The next one should be March 8th. I don't know if you got those within the right sequence.
Well, we got you, and there's two people, and you're
okay.
Pointing at a disc off in the distance. It looks like dawn or sunset. It's just over the treetops, and the next picture below that, the sun's coming up, or it's going down, one or the other. Yeah, the disc is much closer, so okay.
Okay, so the one before that was March 8th. There were four probes up in the sky, so maybe it's okay. We'll get... If that comes back up, I can address that one. But March 8th was four probes that did show up right above my head and my brother's head. So, but anyway, we'll go into March 9th. And I'm out, and you can look up there, and I've got, looks like a little star dot up there. And the craft is just sitting up there. It looks like it was just mingling amongst stars when I looked at it. Okay. And then it started coming down like the second one was just like a rock skipping over the water.
Okay, now hold on. I've got the second picture that we have is clearly sunset or sunrise.
Sunrise.
Yellow sky, sun's coming up, and we're looking at a disc in the distance.
And that morning was really a frosty, very cold, and around the perimeter of that craft, it was like if you took a sparkler and circled around that craft like a sparkler,
mm-hmm.
that would give you an idea of what that
was sparkling something. All right, so the second picture of that sunrise shows the disc much closer. And you've effectively put sparkles around it. I can see that now.
Yeah, because probably that because it was so cold in the morning, probably some kind of ionization, and it probably also associated with maybe the gravity or field around it. Because I could definitely see something other than the sparkle. There was something there creating that effect. You know.
Very interesting. That must have been pretty amazing. Now you show yourself alone. the first picture of that disc, you and one other person, and then the second picture with the sparkles on it, you're alone at the fence.
Yeah, the first one I'm by myself, and then number two I'm by myself, and then number three I called my brother. He was inside the mobile home taking a little rest, and I called him out and told him that.
We're missing one of the pictures. Okay.
Are you really probably missing number two, maybe?
Yeah, we've got the first one is you and your brother. The second one is just you, but the disc is closer with sparkles on it, and those are the two we have of Sunrise.
Okay, so something happened.
It's all right. We'll just flip them around and.
Yeah.
Okay. So the first one should be number three, and that's that's just
me
you.
Standing there.
Yeah.
You
it's
can
just
see the starlight. Yeah.
Yep. Okay, and then the second one is you and your brother.
Down. Yeah. The second one was still me.
Okay.
Number two was still me, where it's got the sparkly effect around the outer perimeter.
Yeah, that's the one we have.
Okay, that's the one, and then number three is where my brother's come out. You don't
I
have
got
that
you.
One?
We got that
okay,
too.
Good.
Yeah, we have that.
Okay,
we have number two and number three. We missed number
okay,
one.
Okay, good.
So
number three, that crab come down treetop level, and it's hovering right above the very site of when the missile launch went off, the two craft that came down. He's hovering right over that area, so that was one of their favorite places to come and go back then.
Now, where is Christmas Tree Road?
Fort Christmas Tree Road would be, I'm going to guess about a half a mile beyond, if you look at that ship.
Uh-huh.
That ship would be half a mile, which would be east of or beyond that craft, about a half a mile.
Okay, so we're looking sort of perpendicular straight away. Christmas Tree Road would be going from left to right. Okay.
Yes.
Behind the craft. All right.
Behind the craft, about
a
mile or less.
Again, that craft is around 30, 35 feet, you figure, in diameter, something like that?
Yeah, that is one of the two crafts that showed up on New Year's Eve weekend. This is one of those of the two crafts there.
It's interesting to see it in the daylight. You got a real silvery kind of metallic suggestion of the sunlight behind it.
Yeah, I tried to capture the sunlight because it was reflecting just a little bit off. You know, you got to be at the right angle. I hadn't had that at the right angle to get some sun. The sun was just high enough to catch that reflection, you know.
You did just great. I see that clearly. And then the next picture is actually number three, but that's prior to, and that's when you're still by yourself. The craft has the sparklies. Did the sparkly things dissipate when I see the picture with you and your brother? Is it still sparkling back then?
Okay, as it was coming down, it was like if you threw a flat rock and it skipped over, you know, a smooth surface. Well, this was, interestingly enough, this was skipping over space as it was coming down, which I thought was really interesting. It was skipping over the fabric of space. It was really strange.
Oh, that is odd.
Yeah. At least that was my impression, you know.
Now, when you say coming down, was it coming down vertically or?
Coming down at that, once again, at that oblique angle.
That same angle.
Trademark. Yes.
Okay, gotcha.
A 45-degree usually was
And it looked like it was bumping over something as it came down?
Yeah, like it was bumping over space as it continued to come down. And, you know, it was coming right towards me, you know, and I thought, and then it stopped at the treetop level.
How did you go get your brother? Did you yell at him?
Yeah, I said, "Hey, Gary." He come flying out. And
What did he say when he saw the ship?
He just stood there with, you know, he was really, because, you know, initially he came down to explain all this away, you know. He thought I was seeing swamp gas and stuff like that. So
he got
an education.
All right. Okay, great. Now number our next picture is you standing alone at night, and there's that classic car off to the left, and you're looking at the trees and the stars, but we see one star that's a little bit brighter than the others. Is that what we're supposed to notice here?
I don't know. Somehow they ought to get turned around. I'm trying to find which one
Okay, I see. There's another picture of you standing in the trees with a little white dot, a starlight, above the trees. Then there's one with you standing behind the fence, on this side of the fence, looking at stars in the night.
Okay, yeah, this is the March 10 one. Let me see, that should be next. That should have my car in it and the jet and the little disc in it.
Ah, we got you in the car looking at the stars over the trees. It's night. Car's on the left. The two posts are there again. In the foreground, those two posts.
Okay, what we got going on here? Let's see here. Okay, we'll be there. Yeah, I'm at a loss here.
Well, slow down. You know what we can do is I can ask.
The two posts. That's the March 9, the sequence of the three.
Uh-huh.
If I'm standing at the two posts, was the part one where the disc is starting to come down.
Oh, okay.
And part two would have been
sparkles,
field around sparkles, and part three would have been sitting above the tree line.
I'll have, and then the next one is the jet.
And then March 10, if you got a jet now, got a jet there.
Yeah,
you should have a jet.
Yep.
Yeah, it's coming just real low again, and the disc is sitting right up there above.
I see it. I'm going to have. Yeah. What I'm going to do is have James flip these numbers 2, 3, and 4 around backwards. And we'll take a little break. Hold on, Jim. We'll take a little break. Come right back in just a couple of minutes. All right. Okay, welcome back. Talking to Jim Oglesby, and I got these images reloaded, but I'm not sure that he got it right yet. I gave him real simple instructions, but anyway. So if you want to hit reload the page and we'll take a look and go. We can find what we need anyway. It's not a problem.
Yeah, they are in sequential order. The first one, March 6th. The second one is March 8th.
Yeah.
And then the next three, if you get the three those three together that we were talking about, get those in the right order, then the next one will be March 10.
Yeah, okay. The first one is the red disc in the trees, just above the trees as it's leaving. The second picture now, unfortunately, is the jet. 3 and 4 are correct. 3 has the sparkly disc, and 4 has you with your cousin.
Yeah.
So we got the jet. The jet should be number 4. So let's go to
where are we at?
We'll go to. You want to go to the jet next?
Yeah, let's go to the jet.
Okay.
It's just another cat and mouse game with the pilot and the disc.
Yeah. Now you're in your car driving on 420, and you see this is night. Now you see this jet coming from your right. Chasing this. Now, this is not a big disc. This is a probe disc. This is a little disc.
It's a little guy, yeah.
And this big jet is going after him. And again, this jet looks like it's about 50, 60 feet off the ground.
Yeah, and he was about as slow as he could, as he could power down the thrust on that.
Wow.
He wasn't zipping across there. So evidently, this wasn't the first night he'd been out there chasing this thing. So he was probably had a little determination to see just how embarrassed he could get trying to catch it,
Well, if he'd have stalled, it would have been real embarrassing.
Yeah.
Now, what got you into your car The last moment was, the last image we saw was the moment when you and your cousin were looking at the disc going off in the distance down by the tree.
Yeah, that's right. We did try to find out where it had landed, yes.
And the next image after that should be the jet, right?
Yes.
Okay, correct. So we got the jet. Now, what does the disc do when the jet comes near it?
It just sit there, and as the jet kind of come across, it shot straight up like it did above the cabin.
And then came back down.
And come right back down, and the jet, you know, made another loop around.
How funny.
And, you know, yeah, he realized he was you know, dealing with the technology that he wasn't going to be able to.
Yeah. Reload the page, and we'll see everything now. We're right back on track, I think.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say it's amazing to see these aircraft. They must have picked up that little disc on radar and dispatched this jet from Patrick.
Yes, exactly. And they did that. Let's see. This was only the second time that actually jet was sent out because they picked up the little disc. Now there were another 10 or 12 times that it came in the area. They never showed up, which I thought was interesting. They only managed to, you know, radar a couple of them, you know. Yeah.
Fascinating.
Yeah, you know, another interesting thing is that particular night, I had just left a meeting in a town about 30 minutes away. My buddy at the Cape, he wanted to start having meetings so we could describe some of these sightings, you know. So we were there now. At exactly, as soon as, I remember I was sharing an experience, and I remember looking at my watch, and it was 9 p.m.
Yeah.
And I looked at my watch, and I said, I gotta go. At that very moment I said that, I felt, the hunch, and I knew these guys would be, that disc would be right there at that corner. They have a very uncanny way of precision.
Okay, now, the next image after the jet, and did he make one pass and then go on his way?
Yeah, he made one more pass around and then went on his way because, you know, it was bright.
What does he think he's going to do?
Yeah.
Hang his hand out the window and catch it? I don't understand.
Yeah, I'm sure he saw what he's doing was really futile, you know, to try to catch this little thing.
I mean,
you know?
Seriously, he had to be going, I don't know what stall speed is on that. It's got to be close to 150, 200.
Uh-huh.
He's probably doing around 200, 250 at that point, whatever.
Uh-huh.
But did you hear the roar in the car pretty clearly?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Right. Shook my car when he come over, you know. Vibrated the car.
It's amazing.
Yeah, he was low.
All right. Okay, the next picture that we have, maybe in order, I'm not sure of the sequence, it shows you outside in the trees looking, and there's one star over the trees.
Okay, there's one star over the trees, and if you look off to the right, you should be able to see an amber cone-shaped beam.
It's actually green-looking.
Okay, it is amber, but probably because of the lighting I've got in the screen, it probably tended to affect it. But
okay.
it was definitely an amber beam, yes.
Is that the next picture that we should be looking at?
Yeah, exactly. And if you note that it's angled down,
yes,
at an angle, yeah. And what happened that night? This is a cigar craft. It came down, it come down each night always at that particular position. And he's shining a light down on that dark sedan. Somebody's in there waiting to pick, the contingent up, the VTs. They're gonna go from that craft into the sedan.
Now you lost me there. I got you in the field. You're looking up and off to the right is the, conical shaped light, which is pointing down, the narrow point is to the left, and it looks like it's pointing down about 4:30 on the clock, about that angle. Now, That's a light coming from a craft, you say?
That's a light coming from the very front of that cigar craft. And you know, it was only on for about 2 seconds, and then it winked off, you know.
Okay.
And that time when it winked off and that craft settled down, off to the right of where that beam is flashing down, there's a back end of an orange grove and the shoreline of Lake Pickett. That's where that light is focusing on. So you put the beam on because there's no way that the driver in that vehicle would have known he was up there because, you know, you got a quiet.
Now, you lost me on this. What vehicle, what sedan, who?
Okay, what I did is I jumped ahead from another rendezvous between ET's and this cigar craft and a dark, official-looking sedan.
Oh,
which we'll get to, yeah. So what I'm doing, I'm giving you information.
I see.
That night, which I didn't have. So
I see.
I'm giving you information of what went down that night.
Did that
March?
Did that beam of light hit the ground? Do you think?
No, it went down and skirted across the top of the orange tree. Off to the right there.
Okay.
There was an orange grove there.
All right. Okay,
yeah.
Next picture is an intersection with a disc dead center in the picture, and your car has turned right at the intersection, and there's just a big field out there, and there's a little disc. Is that our next picture? That would be
That's exactly right. This happened the night after what happened over at the lake.
Oh, I see. You're not looking at the pictures on the computer right now, are you?
No, I'm not. That's right. Gosh, I forgot all about that. I'm just reading them off the way I file them in. That's what was confusing.
If you can pull them up on the computer, then...
Hold on a second here. No wonder. I must be getting tired.
No, I figured it out. Finally. Now, the little disc has a little... on one end of it, the left end...
Uh-huh.
It's got the little pipe sticking up, and then on top of that little pipe it appears to be a little flaring, white, whitish, round something. Almost like exhaust, but it's not exhaust. It's something else.
Uh-huh.
It's a post with a light on top of it, correct?
Uh-huh. Yes, yes.
That's wild.
Let me get here. Let me see.
Yeah, sure.
Hold on. Let me get going. Let me see here. All right. Where are we at here? Let's see.
Right where your car turned right at the intersection. And that would be number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6th picture from the top.
Hold on. Let me see. Okay. Bear with me a sec. I'm going to go back down here and get this. Let's see. Okay, illustrations. Here we go. Okay, now we're on. There we go. Now go down to where
number
were we?
Number six. Just count down 6
intersection
pictures.
There?
Yeah, and there you are at the intersection with a disc out over the field.
Yeah,
the little probe disc.
The little probe disc, and what it's going to do is as I turn right, it's going to go. It will follow parallel my vehicle. Then it'll go down into a cluster of trees and go down into that cluster of trees. And what I think strongly they were doing that night was we're still trying to establish, contact.
It seems like they were inviting you to follow it.
I was a little slow upstairs, I think.
Earthlings, what do they expect, right?
Yeah, you know, I'm sure they, in one way, they had a lot of patience with me. I can certainly tell you that, and I'm sure they were quite amused at what is it going to take to get this guy's attention, you know?
That's funny. That's very funny. All right, so you drove on down to the right. The disc followed you and disappeared into a little grove of trees.
Yes.
And you kept right on driving.
I pulled over and I stopped, and I actually got out of my car, and I was headed for the fence. And I backed off again. For some reason, I had more fear going on than courage to climb over that.
Well, listen, you've already done things that most people would never dream of doing. So don't disparage yourself here. That That's amazing. You're hard to get, that's all. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, next picture, I hope it's right. We've got you peeking around the back of the mobile home.
Yes.
That's picture number seven.
Yes, we were eating dinner, and I'm sitting there, and I got that nudge again to go outside, and I went to the backside, and there was the disc right up against the living room windows, and I got a real good look at it. That's, from that angle, you can see it's probably about 2 feet, 2.5.
That disc was peeping on you, peeping Tom. Look at it. It's right outside the window.
Right outside. We were in the kitchen at the time, at the kitchen table, and we were eating, so we were all in the kitchen, and it must have been about 7:30, 7:40, and I got a nudge to go outside, but when I did, I got a good look at it, and then it shot off back up towards the west.
You went around the back of the mobile home. You're about 15, 20 feet away from this little thing, which has its little light on its little post behind it. It's looking obviously in the window at all of you.
Yep.
You must have been amazed.
I was amazed. I mean, I couldn't move. I just stood there and amazed is the word.
You went back in, and that's our next picture. Is this after you went back in?
Let's see. Let me go back in.
You're inside.
This night here was March the, I forgot the date, March the, I think the 20th or something like that.
Is that the same night you saw the little disc outside, or is this another night?
Yeah. This is another night. As a matter of fact, I think this was the next night.
Okay.
Yeah. This is the same disc. Only one disc that I believe was out doing this, you know.
Yeah, well, I think it had your name on it, of course.
Yeah.
Now, there's a little blue in the middle of the picture, a little blue circle with a white dot in it. What does that mean? What does that?
Yeah, when this happened, I was standing. I'm off to the right, and I was facing west, which my right shoulder would have been just towards his kitchen. And my brother-in-law, he was making coffee, and the other guy there in the middle there, he was just standing. They were in the kitchen, and I was kind of looking at an angle in the kitchen and off to the side. So I caught this at the corner of my eye. When I saw it, it was hovering right in the living room about, you know, where you can see it's about almost a head level up.
That blue light is inside?
Yes, and I addressed that whole scenario in the book, but it came in, and that was when I had to put on my my sleuth hat, you know, and try to learn as much as I could to find out how it got in.
Well, all three of you were standing there watching this, and the guy in the middle, he was obviously in shock. His hair fell out.
Yeah, he didn't have any hair. He was the only one of us that didn't have hair. His name was Bill Morton. Yeah,
I hope it still is. But anyway, that's amazing. All right, well, what happened?
Shimmering, really. It was, you know, just vibrating this energy.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And you know, we were feeling it, and my brother-in-law, which is on the left-hand side, he was in total fear, and my buddy in the middle, Bill, he said, I wanted to run, you know, but I couldn't. He says, look, he says, you invited me out. I'd just gotten off work. I had no idea that, that this something like this was going to happen, because he, too, had come out to, you know, he had kind of, I called him earlier, and he kind of was.
Nobody believed you, right?
Yeah, he wanted to explain it away. He thought it was, you know, he made a buzzing sound with his finger, you know, with his, you know, the things in the air, so.
That's funny.
Yeah, he wasn't expecting this to see this, yes.
So what happened to this shimmering blue circle of light? What did it do?
It was there probably about maybe 2 seconds, 3 seconds, and then it shot off. If you're looking at the screen, it shot off to the right, which would have been on the west side of the mobile home, right near where the windows are. It went up, and I couldn't tell whether it had you know, did a modulation, a matter modulation through that wall, or if it actually had, you know, or if it was a project, if it was a two or three dimensional projected hologram, I didn't know. So I wanted to find out. So I did do some research, but it, be that as it may, it shot off to the right and went outside that wall.
Yeah. Went through the wall somehow.
It went through the wall somehow. Yep.
And, wow. Wow.
Yeah.
All right. Now let's go down to the next picture. Now this is looks like you're in town, Major Boulevard. Is that you driving through the green light?
Yeah, that's me right there at the light. And what happened that afternoon? The UFO activity, I say UFO, it had dropped off dramatically, so I decided to go in town and visit with my parents that lived in Orlando. So I did so, and my mom and my sister, they were chatting in the Florida room, and I came in, and I wasn't there but about 5 or 10 seconds, and I got an excruciating headache, and I didn't get headaches. And so I said, whoops, guys, I gotta go. Now, it was getting on to dark. So I hopped in my car and I drove down Virginia Drive. I came to the corner of Virginia Mills. I went over across the street to 7-Eleven to get some, you know, pills for my headache. And I walked outside and the voice said, James Ogilvy, like that, you know. So I'm looking all around. I thought somebody, you know, in the parking lot knew me, was calling my name. Well, it was business as usual. There was nobody there, so I thought, so I drove up to the corner of this street here, which is East Colonial Drive and Azalea Avenue, and I looked up above the signal there, and there was a disc hovering above the signal.
The little guy.
The little guy hovering above the signal. So I turned left and went back down into the area where all this had been going on. I went back down that 419, went down to this disc, went back down into the cluster trees, and this was, little did I know, this would be the last opportunity to, they would try to establish what I thought was physical contact, because they had business at the Cape from that point on. So that was the last night they attempted to, you know.
He followed you to town, and then followed you back out of town, and went down in the trees like, come on over, say hello.
Yeah. Come on in. Come on across. Come on in. This was, yeah. And I I didn't do it.
It's understandable. You've already done things that most people would never do. All right, the next picture, four lights.
There you go.
Above, coming down. What is that?
Yeah. This is four. This is this happened on the the morning of I think March 9th. Actually, this happened. You remember the sequence of the three in the sky?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that night before at 9:30 p.m., my brother and I were standing right out on the corner, right on the edge of the street, and these two, I call them probes. One came in from the north, south, east, all four directions, and hovered in that kind of a slant square right above our heads. And it was there for about maybe 10 or 15 seconds. And when they left, they shot off in the exact directions that they had appeared in.
So they came together from four different directions, and they left and went exactly back the way they came.
Exactly the way they came. And we stood there for about an hour and a half in one spot, staring up at that spot for about an hour and a half. So if there was some information that was gathered from our brains at that time, then that you could make a case for that. Yeah.
Do you think that those four white round lights might have been like the little disc probe, or were they something else?
I think they were really more of a sophisticated data gathering probes that they had sent out, that they could just go right into your brain and get information. And, you know, that's just a guess.
Well, you heard your name called, James.
Yes.
Ogles.
Yes. So they had my name. Yeah.
Wow. All right. We got one more picture if you want to go there. We can hold that off till next time. Let's hold that off till next time. We'll stop right
okay,
there.
Okay, you want to stop that one? That'd be a good place to
that's
stop.
A good place to pause. Okay.
That's a great place.
Yeah, that's just amazing. Just an amazing, wonderfully told story. It's in Jim's book, Travelers from Space, and you can read it in great detail. We'll have him back as soon as we can schedule with him and give him a little more time next time, but we did really well. I think we got everything done, and you've explained it perfectly. What an encounter. If you had it to do over again, would you have gotten out of the car and gone into the woods?
In a heartbeat. If it was today, I would be with a smile on my face, running through the woods to get in that, to get aboard that craft.
Well, I don't blame you.
Yes.
Well, they still remember you. No doubt about
that.
Yeah,
they do. Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll find out more about this amazing encounter with Jim next time. Thank you, Jim, very much. That was terrific.
Okay. Thanks for having me again.
Okay. Good night.
All right. Okay. Good night. Bye.
That is an amazing story. Really amazing. Okay. And, you know, what would you do if you were in a situation like that? What would you do? If you had a family and children, you wouldn't go into that woods. Unless you were awfully unhappy. But what they clearly were trying to reach out to him. Most interesting. All right, we'll pause and come back with another hour for you in just a few minutes. Hang on.